RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you news commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesia Minister of Defense for phone state defense media. Law revision must strengthen the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK. Indonesian economy to enter golden era in 2020. Now the news in detail. Indonesia Minister of Defense launched a portal and television of state defense. Boj Media will present information about the civil defense program. Indonesian Defense Minister Riamisa Riachudu at the Ministry Office on Tuesday expected the public more deeply and clearly know about the defense program. In addition, the public can provide suggestions and constructive inputs. Moreover, Minister Riamisa Riachudu said making the portal of civil defense program is one effort to achieve 100 million cadres to defend the country in the next 4 years. It becomes priority program in the National Medium-Term Development Plan 2015-2019 and is also one of the general policy of national defense. Secretary of Muhammadiyah Abdul Mufti reminded in Jakarta on Monday that the effort to revise the law of the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK must be aimed at strengthening the agency. He views that the strengthening effort must also include strengthening the agency institutionally and its performance. However, Abdul Mufti expresses pessimism that the reinforcement effort will be successful if the process is disrupted by efforts to weaken corruption eradication enforcement.
Revisi Undang-Undang KPK itu harus memperkuat KPK, bukan memperlemah KPK, baik secara kelembagaan maupun.
The law revision on KPK must strengthen the agency, not to weaken it, either institution or its performance. It is possible to carry out revision if it is aimed at strengthening the agency. However, we are rather pessimistic if such effort is disturbed by hidden agenda that intends to weaken the agency.
Ini akan membuat KPK menjadi lebih kuat karena ya ada kepentingan-kepentingan tertentu yang selama ini agak mengemuka terkait dengan pelemahan peran KPK.
In responding to the statement of KPK's Chairman Agus Raharjo to resign if the law is revised, Abdul Mufti said the KPK chairman should not be in a hurry to respond to the revision effort. According to Abdul Mufti, such Agus move will also weaken the anti-corruption agency as Agus will leave KPK co-chaired by 4 commissioners. Director of International Center for Islam and Pluralism, Phil Safiq Hasim, encouraged in Jakarta on Monday Indonesian government not to ignore the assistance of the Interreligious Communication Forum. He also said that the forum, which assists in many regions, can be the basis for creating a tolerant society to answer diversities within the country. Phil Safiq Hasim said that the Interreligious Communication Forum can be the national model for religious harmony, and this will create an effective tolerance in Indonesia. If the government, especially the Minister of Religious Affairs, in the future pays attention to these issues, an effective religious harmony might be started from the lowest governmental level, namely in districts. Moreover, Phil Safit Hasin also said in addition to facing the challenges of religious harmony, religious communities in Indonesia are also facing the challenge of radicalization that is quite disturbing. According to Phil Safit Hasin, this effort needs cooperation of various stakeholders at different levels to be able to suppress the movement of radicalization which is feared to trigger a split among religious communities. On the sidelines of interreligious seminar taking place in Jakarta on Monday, Secretary of Muhammadiyah Abdul Muhti encouraged the presence of state in solving interreligious problems within the country. He said the issue of religion is no problem to be solved by state because it impels an individual with the teaching of their respective religions. However, he explained the state can regulate intensive expression of religious belief that is done by individual communities, because according to him, the practice of religious teaching requires everyone with regard to the suffering territory of the state. That's why in this context, state should not be absent. The state must assist if a conflict occurs because it is their responsibility. It is related to the relationship among religious communities in the Indonesian state of law. Every citizen is subject as well as an object of law. Moreover, Abdul Muhti said in terms of religious conflict resolution, he encouraged the country to enforce the rule of law above all interest. He said the state cannot solve the problem of religious communities with regard to number of majority and minority religious communities existing in Indonesia. The state, according to Abdul Muhti, should be able to resolve the conflict among religious communities in accordance with the applicable law without involving political elements therein. E-commerce observer from Bandung Technology Institute, ATB, Kun Arif Cahyantoro said between 2010-2030 Indonesia would enter a golden era in its economic growth because of Indonesian demographic bonus. Kun Arif said in Lokanda Cafe on Monday, February 22, 2016, that demographic bonus is when the share of working age population is larger than the share of non-working age population. The working age population is a group of people categorized as strong consumers and is large in number. Indonesia's economic growth would be supported by democratic condition, the rise in number of working age population. Kun Arif also explained that there are only 5 countries in the world which have experienced this phenomenon. The latest one is China, whose economy was growing rapidly. E-commerce must be one of the main supporting factors of economic growth, since working age may become impediment of growth and impediment booster. Secretary of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises Ministry Agus Muharram has encouraged student cooperatives or COPMA to become the basis of entrepreneurship in digital technology. He considered COPMA as a place for learning, training and practicing business. Agus also said on Tuesday that COPMA should mind their cash flow to raise capital. If the cash flow is good, COPMA could propose for loans at the People Business Credit Program and resolving fund management body. Bambang Setia Budi, Secretary of Character Development Division for Student Institution of Bandung Technology Institute ATB, claimed that the yearly number of ITB entrepreneurs is around 7% out of 3,000 students. The trend of ITB alumni who open businesses tends to rise in the last 3 years. 3 years ago, it was only around 5.2%, but now it has reached 7%. The last item, after Pertalite, PT Pertamina will launch a new tight fuel for diesel engine dubbed Solar Light. Pertamina Marketing and Trade Director Ahmad Bambang said Solar Light is launched to suppress subsidized diesel consumption for motor vehicles. Ahmad claims Solar Light has a better specification than subsidized diesel fuel, yet the price will be cheaper than Pertamina DEX, which had been marketed since 2005. Solar Light's certain number reaches 51, or is far higher than subsidized diesel with certain number of 46 until 48, but is slightly lower than Pertamina DEX with certain number 53. Solar Light might be retailed at 7,000 rupiah per liter, cheaper than Pertamina DEX, then reach 9,600 rupiah per liter. In March, Pertamina will conduct a testing of solar light for public transportation and private vehicle with the diesel engines. It is certain that the release of a solar light will not hamper the mixture of diesel and 20% biodiesel, which became the government's target this year. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today's commentary is on New Papua separatism efforts in 2016. Recently, a spokesman for the United Liberation Movement for West Papua, or ULMWP, Benny Wenda, asked the Indonesian government to not overreact after the inauguration of the movement office in Wamena, Jayawijaya district. The inauguration of this office is fully supported by MSG, or the Melanesian Spearhead Group, a cross-government organization consisting of four Melanesian countries, namely Fiji, Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands, and Vanuatu, plus Front Liberation of the National Socialists and Kanak New Caledonia, pro-independence political parties in New Caledonia. Melanesian race is the majority of Papuans. The similarity in race seems to be used by the Papua Liberation Movement as a tool or weapon to garner support from Southwest Pacific regions or the member states of MSG. The local government has removed the name sign of the ULMWP office sometime after the office was inaugurated, but this raises a strong reaction. They called the Indonesian government as overreacted in its response to the presence of the liberation movement and refused to stop their activities. The movement said they have a mission to let the Papuan people determine their own destiny and to bring cases of alleged human rights violations in Papua to the Commission on Human Rights in the United Nations. The movement certainly does not represent all the people of Papua, yet the fact that this movement exists should make the government look at what is actually desired by the people of Papua and why did it seem to be accommodated through a liberation movement in Papua. Many say Papuan people want more equal welfare in development, while in fact the Indonesian government has not remained silent in terms of development in Papua. Various improvements have been made gradually since 2002. The government has allocated a special autonomy fund for Papua by an amount not less than 50 trillion rupiahs. All efforts by the Indonesian government is a form of seriousness to build Papua. However, nearly 60% of Papua's regional heads from the provincial level down to the district and cities are said to have spent more time in Jakarta. So how can they manage the region well if they are not present? The government has emphasized such organizations like the United Liberation Movement for West Papua or ULMWP should ask permission first before setting up an office in Papua, particularly with the word Liberation Movement for West Papua in the name, if considered contrary to the concept of the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia, the government is entitled to forbid it by the rules. The government has also stated that Indonesia is a sovereign country that cannot be easily threatened or intimidated, especially by individuals or organizations such as ULMWP or West Papua Liberation Movement. However, the government needs to look deeper at the issue. Is it just a local political affairs alone, or are there any other interests, including foreign interests, involved? Well, that was commentary today on New Papua separatism efforts in 2016. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with February 23, 1967. President Sukarno handed over power and state authority to General Suharto. After the issuance of March 11, 1966 order, which authorizes the Lieutenant General Suharto to restore security and national stability, the rule of President Sukarno practically becoming weaker. Furthermore, with strong pressure from students and the wider community, on Thursday, February 23, 1967, President Sukarno eventually handed over the state power to General Suharto. The handover was officially announced by the president at the State Palace at night. Shortly later, from March the 7th until the 12th, 1967, the People Consultative Assembly held a special session in Jakarta and decided to revoke the power of the government from President Sukarno. Next is from February the 23rd, 1903. Guantanamo Bay in Cuba began to be loaned to the United States for a naval base. Guantanamo Bay is a bay located in the province of Guantanamo, southeast Cuba. On February the 23rd, 1903, Thomas Estrada Palma, an American citizen who became the first president of Cuba, offered the rental of Guantanamo Bay to the United States to be a Marine Force base. Based on the Cuban-American Treaty of 1934, the United States government got complete jurisdiction and control over the whole territory of Guantanamo Bay. Leased to the United States, rental contract is valid forever unless there is an agreement of both parties to terminate the contract. Last is from February the 3rd, 1947, the International Organization for Standardization, ISO, established. International Organization for Standardization, or ISO abbreviated, is an international organization specializing in the field of standardization. ISO, or ISO, is a non-governmental organization founded in Geneva, Switzerland on February the 23rd, 1947. Participants included the ISO national standards bodies from every country and major corporations. ISO's goal is to develop and promote common standards which are internationally accepted. Well, that was Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today's theme is Realizing Indonesia Free of Plastic Waste in 2020. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. A total of 22 cities in Indonesia simultaneously imposed a system of paid plastic bags launched by the Ministry of Environment and Forest to reduce plastic waste beginning February the 21st, 2016. Paid plastic bags use imposed for the first time in Indonesia was also greeted enthusiastically by various communities. Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya, while celebrating the National Day of Waste Concern in 2016 in Jakarta on Sunday, explained the government imposed a policy of paid plastic bag system aims to make Indonesia free of plastic garbage in 2020. She promised the program will be evaluated at least in 3 months. Siti Nurbaya said she would not necessarily impose the policy without seeing the public response. Government and retailers will measure the level of public objection to the policy of paid plastic bags. The government will use the momentum of National Free of Plastic Waste Day to launch a policy of paid plastic bags, and the policy is believed will reduce the waste that has increased every day. Moreover, plastic waste is a type of waste that takes a long time to decompose. Related to that, Chairman of the Indonesian Retailers Association, Roy M. Mande, said the government and the Indonesian Retailers Association have agreed on the use of paid plastic bags to reduce plastic waste beginning February the 21st, 2016, to coincide with the National Day of Waste Concern. He said the agreement was obtained after the Ministry of Environment and Forestry had a meeting with the National Consumer Protection Agency, Indonesian Consumers Foundation, and the Association of Indonesian Retailers. According to Roy and Mande, during the trial period, they agreed that modern retailers no longer provide plastic bags for free to the consumers. He continues to urge consumers to carry their own shopping bags. However, if consumers still need a plastic bag, then they will be asked to pay 200 rupiah each. He said with their policy of paid plastic bags, it is expected to change consumer behavior while shopping at modern retailers. For example, by bringing their own bags when shopping so plastic consumption can be reduced. Meanwhile, the campaign manager of the National Environmental Forum, Edo Rahman, said that the government should not only stop at limiting the use of plastic bags, but it also needs to minimize the use of plastic for packaging of food or beverages. For it is not done, then the plastic waste will remain huge. He was optimistic that the community will fully support to minimize the use of plastic in both product consumption or shopping if the government also provide good examples. Meanwhile, Head of Directorate of Waste Management and Hazardous Waste Toxic Substances, Tuti Hendrawati Mintarsi, said Indonesia is the number two producer of plastic waste in the world after China. This rating should begin to be removed by a variety of efforts, among others by declaring Indonesia is moving towards free of plastic waste in 2020. Well, that was Focus Today. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, welcome to headline of some national newspapers published today on Tuesday, February 23, 2016. We start from Kompas. In its headline, writes about President DPR Understand the People. The decision of President Joko Widodo and the House of Representatives DPR to postpone the revision of the Law No. 30/2002 on Corruption Eradication Commission (KPK) should be appreciated. With the postponement, the draft revision ratification of the Commission Law was removed from the plenary meeting agenda on Tuesday, February 23, 2016. However, the Parliament and the government agreed to retain the revision of the Commission Law included in the 2016 National Legislation Program, Prolegnas. Media Indonesia in its headline writes about the use of paid plastic still be observed. After the paid plastic policy has been enacted to a minimum of 200 rupiah in supermarkets and retail stores, most people predict the effort does not significantly decrease the consumption of plastic bags. They appeal the price of plastic bags to be increased to 2,000 rupiah per bag. Meanwhile, Republika also writes about the postponement of KPK law revision. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Ade Komarudin, agreed to postpone discussing the revision of the Law No. 30/2002 on the Corruption Eradication Commission (KPK). The move was taken following a vigorous rejection toward the plan, which is assessed to weaken the KPK. The House Speaker, Ade Komarudin, said that the government and the parliament realized there is a large public opposition against the revision plan. Now the last headline from Tempo. The Daily writes about KPK still be threatened. The postponement of the revision of Law No. 30/2002 on the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK raised criticism from 130 professors who signed the rejection petition of KPK law revision. Law professor of University of Indonesia, Sulistyowati Irianto suggested that President Joko Widodo not only postpones, but also rejects the KPK law revision. The postponement causes the KPK to keep being threatened of weakening. Listener, that was headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesia Minister of Defense launched a portal in television of State Defend. Both media will present information about the civil defense program. Secretary of Muhammadiyah Abdul Muhdi reminded in Jakarta Monday that the vote to revise the law of the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK must be aimed at strengthening the agency. Director of International Center for Islam and Pluralism, Phil Shafiq Hasim, encouraged in Jakarta on Monday Indonesian government not to ignore the assistance of Interreligious Communication Forum. On the sidelines of an interreligious seminar on Monday in Jakarta, Secretary of Muhammadiyah Abdul Muhdi encouraged the presence of state in solving interreligious problems within the country. E-commerce observer from Bandung Technology Institute B. Gun Arif Cahyantoro said that between 2010-2030, Indonesia would enter a golden era in its economic growth because of Indonesia's demographic bonus. Secretary of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises Ministry, Agus Muharram, has encouraged student cooperative or KOTMA to become the basis of entrepreneurship in digital technology. After Fertilite, PT Pertamina will launch a new type of fuel for diesel engine dubbed Solar Light. Pertamina Marketing and Trade Director Ahmad Bamban said Solar Light is launched to suppress subsidized diesel consumption per motor vehicles. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Thank you for still listening at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin. Next segments, we have Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, nice to meet you again in regular segment of Indonesian Wonder. Today we will take you to visit Lenggal Beach in East Nusa Tenggara Province. Stay tuned. Listener, is Nusa Tenggara Province has the leading tourist destinations such as marine tourism. The province has many wonderful maritime destinations spread across the Alor Island, Lembata, and East Flores. Alor Island itself is already widely known by foreign tourists. It has clear seawater with colorful fish. The beauty of the beach and marine life became the target of tourists. Moreover, there are 18 diving points called Faruna's dive sites at Alor that usually be missed by diving lovers. In addition to amazing 18 dive points, Various beautiful beaches can also be found in Alor. One of the beaches called Lingal Beach. When you visit the beach, you will bear for lingering because Lingal Beach presenting a wonderful panorama that feasts for the eyes. The beach is located at Halerman Village, Alor Barat Daya or Southwestern Alor Sub-District, Alor Regency. Lingal Beach can be reached by boat in 1.5 hours from the dock in Alor Kecil Village. The rental price of the boat is 700,000 rupiah per one trip. In addition, from the sea, the beach can also be reached via Kalabahi, the capital of Alor Regency, but it is a longer trip, which is 3 hours. Alor itself can be accessed from Kupang, capital of East Nusa Tenggara Province, by plane to Mali Airport of Alor Island. Currently, the flights to Alor only twice a day by Wings Air and Trans Nusa. Listener, you will see the beautiful scenery during the trip if you go to Alor by sea transportation. On the way, you will also be presented with beautiful views of the green hills along the coast of Alor. Waters near the pier that seemed quiet and the breeze made the trip so much fun. When you arriving at the Lingal Beach, you will be greeted with a carpet of white sand beaches and clean and clear water as well. Listener, Lingal Beach has a vast expanse of sand that's suitable for beach sport. Additionally, you can also just sit back at the bed of sand. If you want to take a rest, you can find shelter in a cave around the beach. There is also 30 meters high of green hills on the waterfront which can be climbed. The route leading to the top of the hill is not tidy yet. Therefore, you should be careful when climbing to the top. When you arrive to the top of the hill, you can see views that looks curved Lingal Beach with the hills on the right and left sides. The hilltop is indeed the most beautiful viewpoint, as well as a fun place to take pictures at height. Well, listener, wherever you are, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with a topic about Lingal Beach in East Nusa Tenggara. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson of Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and also some idioms in a conversation. The topic today is mendaftar sekolah taman kanak-kanak, or in English, enrolling for kindergarten. First, I'll introduce some vocabulary and also idiom related to the topic today. I'll say its words slowly twice and you can follow after me. Baju seragam. Baju seragam. Uniform. Putra. Putra. Boy. Satu setel. Satu setel. A set. Putih. Putih. White. Dipakai. Dipakai. To be worn. Hari Senin. Hari Senin. On Monday. Biru. Biru. Blue. Selasa. Selasa. Tuesday. Baju olahraga. Baju olahraga. Sports suit. Batik. Batik. Batik dress. Dua pasang. Dua pasang. Two pairs. Kaos kaki. Kaos kaki. Socks. Satu pasang. Satu pasang. One pair. Sepatu. Sepatu. Shoes. Buku gambar. Buku gambar. Drawing book. Pensil warna. Pensil warna. Colored pencils. Hitam. Hitam. Black. Fasilitas. Fasilitas. Facility. Arena bermain. Arena bermain. Playing ground. Dokter umum. Dokter umum. Medical doctor. Dokter gigi. Dokter gigi. Dentist. Membaca. Membaca. To read. Brosur. 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 Next is an example of a conversation on mendaftar sekolah taman kanak-kanak or enrolling for kindergarten. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Nita and the principal of the kindergarten. Saya sudah tahu persyaratan masuk ke sekolah taman kanak-kanak ini. Saya sudah tahu persyaratan masuk ke sekolah taman kanak-kanak ini. In English, I know the requirement for enrolling at this kindergarten. Bagaimana mengenai baju seragam? Bagaimana mengenai baju seragam? In English, how about the uniform? Putra ibu akan mendapatkan satu setel seragam warna putih-putih yang dipakai pada hari Senin. Putra ibu akan mendapatkan satu setel seragam warna putih-putih yang dipakai pada hari Senin. In English, your son will get one set of white uniform to be worn on Mondays. Satu setel seragam warna putih biru yang dipakai hari Selasa. Satu setel seragam warna putih biru yang dipakai hari Selasa. In English, one set of uniform, which is blue and white, to be worn on Tuesdays. Satu setel seragam olahraga. Satu setel seragam olahraga. One sport suit. Dan satu setel seragam batik. Dan satu setel seragam batik. And one batik uniform. Selain itu, ada dua pasang kaos kaki putih. Selain itu, ada dua pasang kaos kaki putih. In addition, there are two pairs of white socks. Satu pasang sepatu hitam. Satu pasang sepatu hitam. One pair of black shoes. Juga buku gambar dan pensil warna. Juga buku gambar dan pensil warna. Also a drawing book and colored pencil. Apa saja fasilitas sekolah taman kanak-kanak ini? Apa saja fasilitas sekolah taman kanak-kanak ini? What are the facilities of this kindergarten? Selain arena bermain, beside a playing ground, sekolah ini juga mempunyai dokter dan dokter gigi. Sekolah ini juga mempunyai dokter dan juga dokter gigi. This school also has a medical doctor and dentist. Sebelum mendaftar, silakan ibu membaca brosur ini. Sebelum mendaftar, silakan ibu membaca brosur ini. Before you enroll, you can read this brochure. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until next week with another topic. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you a music group, namely Rumah Sakit Band, which has performed in the Indonesian music industry. Let's listen to the first song, entitled Hilang by Rumah Sakit Band. Listener, Rumah Sakit Ben was founded in 1994. The year 1998 became a very special year for Rumah Sakit Ben's career because the band has successfully released their first studio album in the music world entitled Self-Titled, which contains 10 new songs. The presence of the album was certainly the starting point of the career of for the Rumah Sakit Band to continue their work in the music world in Indonesia. After the success of their first studio album in 2001, Rumah Sakit Band also presented a new album as their second album. On this second album, Rumah Sakit Band released 11 new songs, including the song that will be presented to you. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song by Rumah Sakit Band.
Wajib wanderung
After successfully released two albums, Rumah Sakit Band not quite satisfied. That's why the band then released their first compilation album entitled 1 plus 2, which contains 12 best songs of the band. In 2015, Rumah Sakit Band released their works that have been well accepted by their fans, those who have been long waiting for the new songs of Rumah Sakit Band. With the presence of the new album, it has identified as the beginning of the rising of Rumah Sakit Band to continue their career in the music world. The band is now comprised of 5 personnel who have the same vision and committed to continue their career in the music world. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last 2 songs entitled Duniawi and Sirna by Rumah Sakit Band. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Berlari dariku selamanya dunia takkan mungkin menghentikan hati mendamba indahnya angan merasuki jiwa terbayang.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.